The poet wrote about 2,500 songs over a period of long 60 years. Whereas in just 10 years' time, he did as many paintings. The oeuvre of literature emerged out of rigorous training he received through his studies and practice over multiple decades. But his art was a product of sheer passion and desire to express. A blast of trapped, unrestrained emotions splattered over pages after pages. Yes, I am talking about Rabindranath Tagore. Welcome to my podcast, Art Beyond Canvas. If you like my podcast, please click the bell icon and follow me. Van Gogh and Rabindranath Tagore both painted for about 10 years in their entire lifetime. Van Gogh painted about 1,000 paintings and Tagore painted more than 2,000. Neither of them got any formal training. But there is one difference. Van Gogh began to paint at the age of 27 and Tagore began to paint at the age of 67. But did he begin to paint one fine morning without any association with art until then? Let us explore this aspect first. The answer probably lies in the introduction of his autobiography, Jibon Sriti. He wrote, "Who paints the picture of life on the canvas of memory? I don't know. But he is not there to duplicate the events unfolding around me. Based on his preference and choice, he picks this and drops that, shrinks one and expands the other. On his whim, he brings the background to the fore and pushes the foreground to the back. Actually, he is not a historian but an artist. On one hand, when life goes on, the artist keeps painting on the continuous canvas of memory." Perhaps this is exactly how he began to paint after more than five decades of living life on earth. If we look back by a couple of generations, we shall see that his grandfather, Prince Dwarkanath, was a great patron of art and artists. In fact, while traveling to the West, he got almost half a dozen portraits of himself painted by the leading artists of the day in Europe. He was a collector of art too. Pathuria Ghata branch of Tagore family had a massive collection of paintings. In fact, their collection included paintings by Van Dyck, Rubens, Constable, Raphael, Titian, and so on. Later, such collection was donated to Victoria Memorial Hall in Calcutta by the Tagore family. A large part of this collection came from Dwarkanath Tagore. Young Rabindranath had received a great deal of exposure to the classic Western masterpieces. When in 1913, Tagore was awarded the Nobel Prize, he visited the Armory Show in Chicago. The sensational show had Picasso, Van Gogh, Matisse, Duchamp, Kandinsky as well as Lautrec. Copies of three paintings of Matisse were burnt. Protests were staged by students of Chicago Art Institute. Posters read, "Henry Hare Matisse found guilty of every artistic sin on calendar." Such reaction to Matisse's painting was quite normal those days. Tagore never mentioned any of the artists or their paintings in his writing. But like that silent, whimsical artist in his mind that painted on the canvas of his memory, the modern radical expressions he witnessed must have left their indelible impression. Later, he visited Japan. He had mentioned about his amazement of the art of Japan in his letters back home. Unlike his nephews, he was not taken by the wash technique of the Nihonga movement. It was the Japanese calligraphy that captured his fancy. During early 20s, he visited Europe. The intellectual spirit of Paris was charged with the wave of post-impressionism. Topic of discussion at cafes and living rooms revolved around Van Gogh, Monet, Renoir, Cezanne and the likes. Rabindranath Tagore spent considerable time in the thick of it. In fact, he had visited the shop of some art dealer too. The considerable collection of paintings of Impressionist and Post-Impressionist Zoner overwhelmed him. He wrote about this experience later. The Bauhaus exhibition was organized by Shantiniketan International University in 1922 at Kolkata. 175 paintings were shipped from Europe to India for this exhibition. It included paintings by abstract expressionists like Kandinsky and Paul Klee. In fact, out of the 175 paintings, only one was sold. It was purchased by Abanindranath Tagore. He gifted it to Rabindranath Tagore. The remaining 174 paintings were safely packed and sent back. This shows the taste of the Indian art lovers during that time. People were clearly not ready for the onslaught of modern twists and turns on the canvas. However, we can safely assume that Rabindranath Tagore had witnessed the paintings on display. Hence, he was very much exposed to modernity in art. In 1926, Tagore traveled through the Scandinavian countries. During his stay in Oslo, he gave a public lecture at Oslo University. The walls of the hall where he spoke was painted with Scream, the landmark painting by Edvard Munch. This is important because later Tagore's works became essentially expressionist. Scream could not have skipped his notice. We must not forget another very crucial occurrence. In 1921, his German publisher Kurt Wolff gifted him the complete set of three illustrated volumes of the periodical Genius. It was all about the expressionist movement. Kola Bhavona has the complete set today. Therefore, Rabindranath Tagore had a detailed account of expressionist movement in his disposal. The poet enjoyed a strong influence of the tribal arts of Haida and Tlingit tribes of Northwest America. His paintings also reflect the shadow of Peruvian woodcrafts. During his travel through the West, he must have visited the British Museum, where primitive artworks were on display in good numbers. To top it all, he had in his possession a couple of books on Peruvian art. Hence, we can conclude that Rabindranath Tagore might not have received any formal training, but his exposure to art was extensive. But still, the question remains, why he painted the way he painted? He did not try to copy objects or people as we see in the real world. His color palette was unusual. The shapes and forms that figures on the paper were unreal at times. Why? What prompted him to present dark clouds of mystery to the world through his art, while his literature came with utmost clarity? To begin with, let us consider the aspect of no formal training. Training and practice through prolonged period within the confine of some established framework of education builds wall around oneself. Sincere and true expression happens when such wall is fallen and the individual sets himself free. But unbound passion and intense feelings trapped in some dark alley of mind finds an escape route if such wall does not exist in first place. In case of Tagore, the wall was never built, whereas his eyes were trained by the innumerable expressionist, cubist and abstract expressionist artworks during his journey across the globe. The sense of balance was born naturally in his subconscious. He already knew the way to vent the steam of passion on paper or canvas. This explains the sudden appearance of Tagore as an artist at the age of 67. Now, let us explore the subject matter he dealt with on paper. To understand that, let us find the answers to a few questions. How to paint the unseen? How to convey the feelings darker than black? How to say volumes in silence? How to draw the outline around the formless? To depict what is beyond the mundane, the artist must use the palette of the unseen. But where and how to find such a palette? To find an answer to this question, let me talk about a curious aspect of the artist in discussion. Rabindranath Tagore suffered from protanopia, partial color blindness. Red did not reach him as it does to us with regular vision. It is not a recent finding, but Tagore himself wrote about it in the lighter vein on a couple of occasions. The color that he could see with vivid clarity was blue. Of course, he must have been able to see yellow and brown. This lack of visual faculty reflected in the creations of Tagore in a curious manner. We should not forget that he had been writing for more than 5 decades before he took up painting on a serious note. Of course, he left his artistic impression on the pages of his manuscript in the form of zooformic doodles all the time. I shall talk about the nature of his doodles in a while. But before that, let us appreciate the fact that he had expressed his feelings and thoughts through words for so many years. It came in the form of stories, novels, essays, and letters. Hence, he must have vented out his inner feelings through his literature. Even if every character an author projects is a realized or unrealized possibility of himself, yet in the end, the author remains obscured behind the tapestry of words. There are 2 reasons. One reason is the inherent limitation of words. Every word we utter or write comes with a boundary. Because words are intended to describe things with clear form and shape. A collection of even 1,000,000 words fail to capture the infinite. They always fall short. All the time there remains a space beyond the territory of words. That is why even a legend like Tagore could not capture everything in his words. The other reason is about the privacy of the person. Everyone has aspects of their nature and life that fall into the gray zone of right and wrong. Often we want to keep them in the secret lockers of our mind, whereas the mind feels crammed thanks to the conspicuous locker in place. If we could bring the damned locker out and set the secrets free in the wind, we could feel lighter and relieved. This is why we can imagine that the great poet had not been able to pour everything into the sack of literature. Some shadowy truth remained hidden in the locker of his mind. Right there came painting. When he took up painting, he discovered a medium that allowed him to speak the unspoken. The feelings unspoken due to the limitation of words streamed out in raging gusto in the form of images. Now we can look back and consider the doodles. Tagore did express through shapes and forms since early days. Most of his doodles took the shape of strange animals that did not exist. Mostly the animals were not violent, but they were mysterious and watchful, as if they preferred a quiet existence beyond the knowledge of the mundane world. They do not pose threat but make us uneasy due to their sinister absurdity. But when he started painting seriously, he did not remain restricted to zoomorphic doodles. Landscapes and human forms as well as faces began to appear. Also, let us remember that his writing was honed through decades of learning and practice, whereas his paintings were born out of a pure urgency to express. The glaring eyes of the rulebook and protocol did not stand guard like infallible walls around Tagore the artist. Therefore, his paintings were to be sincere to the core. There was no other option. Deliberation had no room in his artistic journey. Now, let us compare his letters with the novels and stories he had written. In Chinno Patraboli, collection of letters, we get a glimpse of his choice of colors. You see, he could not see red, and the color he saw most clearly was blue. This is why, while describing a scene he had actually witnessed, he hardly ever used the word red in his letters. On the other hand, he had used multiple shades of blue to describe a visual experience. But interestingly, in his novels, on many occasions, he used the reference of color red to indicate something ominous or mysterious. In fact, through his novels and stories, we find that red stands for something sinister like illicit sex, forbidden love, or sinful desire. In his literature, he used much less reference of blue. The same is true in his paintings. Particularly when he depicted women, a common trait keeps repeating. Usually they are dark and sad. Their eyes stand out in the blackness of their shadowy existence. They never look straight at the viewer, but stare at something else, away from the viewer, as if they are beyond the realm of the viewer's sphere of control. Mostly in black ink, the women of Tagore seem to be in the dark and hence actually invisible, yet their existence is palpable. In some cases, the women in his paintings are wild, dancing in the trance of some supernatural spirit, but often the faces are unclear. At times we see the woman looks like silhouette from the back. A baleful yet intoxicating chime resounds through the images, beckoning the viewer into a world of sinister charm. In a nutshell, women in Tagore's paintings are mysterious, sad, and unknown, yet extremely familiar. His palette consisted of mainly black and brown in most such paintings of women, but there is often something else too, and that something else is red. When he painted women, often he used deep dark red, and remember, he could not see the color himself. In his literature, he had used the reference of red to indicate something ominous, sinful, and mysterious, and he used deep red in the images of women on several occasions. Perhaps we can get an answer to this question if we think of the two very important women in his life, his sister-in-law Kadambari Devi and Ranu Adhikari. The untimely death of his sister-in-law by suicide when Tagore was just 23 years old and a budding poet left an indelible scar in his mind. In the lonely days of growing up in the sprawling mansion of Jorashanko, he grew very close to his sister-in-law, who was just 3 years elder than him. She was the inspiration of the poet during his early days of creation. She was his muse. He could never come to terms with this loss in his lifetime. Several decades later, when a young girl, one-third the age of the poet, get crashed into his life without warning, he probably found an uncanny similarity between his long-lost muse and the young girl. Even if in the beginning the poet in his middle age tried to remain a distant elder, soon became enchanted with her youthful charm and unusually developed intellect. Ranu became his muse. Some 400 letters found at a later date stand testimony to the romantic bond between them. As we can imagine, this relationship could not have been transparent. Tagore did not live in isolation but in the thriving mansion of Jorashanko where many others lived. Ranu's room used to be on the same floor. Supposedly she had access to his study anytime she wished. In the end, both must have known that the relationship between them could never fit any socially approved format. Eventually, Tagore himself intervened and Ranu Adhikari got married. As we can see, both relationships of profound importance to the poet were opaque. Both women were beautiful mysteries gradually unfolding all the time. Both relations were beyond the domain of socially ratified traditions. Then, what color do you think Tagore would be choosing to depict his feelings about his muse? Of course, red. Because red was a mystery for him. He knew it existed but could not see. It was that unknown which remained elusive despite being within his grasp. Perhaps this is why Tagore painted women in red many times. His palette consisted of mainly golden, yellow, red, brown, and black as well as white. His affinity for yellow and brown might have been rooted in the intense love for sunrise. Ironically, he hardly ever used blue in his paintings, whereas he could see blue perfectly. Perhaps the very reason for avoidance of blue was its obvious nature to him. He was projecting what was not visible, what was beyond words. Blue did not fit the criteria because blue was visible. As an artist, Rabindranath Tagore never received much recognition in his homeland. It is quite understandable because Indian population was not yet subjected to the same upheavals as the West did. The effect of industrialization uprooted people in the West and tossed them around. This resulted in acute distress and agony. World War, though touched Indian lives, did not really affect the Indians the way it shattered the lives of Europeans. As a result, the artist fraternity in the West felt broken and twisted. This resulted in deformation and fragmentation of shapes and forms in the West, leading to expressionism and cubism. Hence, the idea of extreme deformation or fragmentation did not appeal to the Indian eye. Gaganendranath Tagore did paint with fragmental shapes, but unlike cubism, his breaking of forms was for the purpose of theatrical effect. Abanindranath Tagore followed old Indian tradition of painting familiar elements and figures in realistic manner. They did not feel the need to break and twist shapes, whereas Rabindranath Tagore did. As we have seen, his exposure to the international politics and society was extensive. He even locked horn with Mussolini at some point. His exposure to the Western art forms was wide, and he was never trained in the academic framework of Western realism or Mughal art. Even if, thanks to his partial visual impairment, Tagore naturally played with forms than color, yet he chose his style and expression from a wide spectrum of options than any other artist of his time. In fact, he was so much influenced by the German woodcut prints that he tried to emulate the textures when he painted by ink on paper. The rough irregularity left behind on woodcut prints seemed to have been emulated on Tagore's painting painstakingly. Not being recognized by the Indian art lovers does not mean that he was not acknowledged in the West. In fact, he was highly admired in the West. The reason is simple. His paintings were expressionist. In fact, several of his portraits were uncannily similar to those done by the European masters of the time. For Europe, his painting was nothing new. The style was already in vogue. But in India, it was a shock. Rather, I would say it was a bitter shock. It was new. It was a pointer for the days to come in Indian art, a leading indicator. In fact, Amrita Shergill had said, "I am of the opinion that he is only one of the Indian artists who has anything to say." Well, it sounds arrogant, of course, but there was a kernel of truth in it. After all, Tagore's oeuvre stood in great defiance to the convention of the day. He not only demolished the decorative and beautifying mania of the Indian tradition, but also showed the world of Indian art the real face of sincere and fearless expression. He turned the table of perception from beauty is truth to truth is beautiful. A true game changer in the history of Indian art.